Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. I am glad to be here. I'm going to say it that way. And I have certainly assigned a topic that I don't know that I've ever heard a preaching on, but probably we should have. So I'm glad to tackle it. I need to be quite transparent tonight. I've always believed, and I've been taught by older men, especially one man that has been highly influential in my life, that preachers should preach with command. And I've also believed and taught that preaching is not the same as sharing. And I get a little disturbed sometimes in the tones or reasons that people talk about sharing rather than preaching, because I believe that men are called by the church to preach, and I don't think that's the same as sharing, and that's not my subject tonight. But this older gentleman taught me to preach with command, and that is, he taught me to preach, this is what the Bible says, and to stay away from I believe and I think. And I have tried to do that in my life as much as possible, but tonight on this subject I'm sharing, and I think there is some truth, and I'm going to share with you what I have been taught and what I believe, and it could raise some discussions, and if they are profitable, then that is good. If they are not profitable, then that is not good. And I don't know that I've ever heard this, and I don't know if you can find this subject on the Pilgrimite website, but you could probably find it somewhere, because it is a highly contested subject. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's the text that I was given. And let's just say it this way, and also I have limited my notes tonight so that I'm not scripted. I have some outline notes tonight so that I can stay more unscripted and sharing. And I think when I get finished, you will know why I might have decided to use that approach. So we're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll read these verses. Pardon me, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, you haven't given me this title, but I would, or this text, but I would like to add to that over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is the same man, Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. I would like to add those to this study. Let's look at the scriptures about what is the lady's place in the churches. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Let me back up to verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And so we can keep those two texts somewhere in our minds as we go forward. And I want to notice verse 31 over in 1 Corinthians, where it says, ye may all prophesy, and this is for later application, practical application. And this was not in the text given to me, but I want to include it, and I will give some thoughts on this later. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And I want to draw attention to that verse for some later thoughts. And so this evening I'd like to unpack some of these meanings. And one of the things that we need to first think about is that you'll notice that he says this is for all the churches, and so this is not a cultural issue. This is for all the churches and respected in all the churches and obviously observed in all the churches. And he said, as it is in all the churches of the saints in verse 33. And I want to draw attention to that, that there would not be confusion and there would not be authority. And if we, Bible students, we're not going to read, but beginning all the way back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13, 14, he's speaking about order in the churches, that there's order in the churches, and that the church would have order and would not be full of confusion. And he addresses this issue about speaking in tongues, and he says how many may prophesy and speak at one time, and how many shouldn't, and how they should, that there would not be confusion, and that authority would be confused and disrupted in churches of Jesus Christ. But there's another phrase here in verse 34, in the verse which I think is Clyde wanted to have unpacked. There's a very interesting verse, phrase, as says in the last five words, as also saith the law. And that raises a question, because I don't know of anywhere in the Mosaic Law and Leviticus where it gives direction to this. So apparently, Paul was reaching all the way back into Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where we have the story, the narrative, the story where the woman sinned, and it was also mentioned in 1 Timothy, where Paul says that the woman sinned first in Adam, but the woman was deceived, and therefore he gives that order of authority. And back in 3:15, and these verses that surround it, it's in the context, the point is that Paul was affirming in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he was affirming what God had established all the way back at the fall, and that is that man is in authority of the woman. And we live in a world that is not like that. And I suppose if someone walk in on this street, they might already have called me a woman hater. And that's okay. We're not women haters, but the Bible and the law is certainly true that the man is in lead and his woman, his wife, is in subjection. And Paul must certainly in these verses have been alluding or confirming, not alluding, but affirming that point, because he says the women will keep silence in the churches, as also was the law. And it wasn't Moses' law. It had to of necessity been a creation, not a creation principle, but a God Almighty law. So we have to need to conclude that this verse and Paul's teaching is harking back to the law of God. And he mentions there in 1 Timothy where he says Adam was created first and woman second. because there's nothing in Moses' law or even in the Torah which would say this principle. Paul was reaching back into the law of God. And so this all fits with Paul's teachings in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Timothy, where he's talking about a overarching principle of mankind, and is that man is in leadership and woman is his helper. And that does not make a woman less important. It makes order in the human race if it's followed. But we live in such confusion, and we have so gradually been acclimated to that, that today, we know we're not going into politics. I'm just saying that that whole principle has been violated and violated and violated and violated to the times that it does not always catch us as hard as it should. And so to sum this up, certainly Paul was teaching that women should not usurp authority over men. And I'm going to add to that point right now, not only I think Paul was teaching that they should not usurp authority over men in church, but in all of life. A woman should attempt nothing, one commenter said, either in public or in private, that belongs to man as his function. And men have their function and women have their function. And that is one package truth. And Paul was zeroing in on that, that God has said, because of the fall and because of his order of creation and because of all of these parts, that man is leader and woman is his helper, not the other way around. He must certainly have been speaking to that concept or that principle, not concept, but that truth. Now, let me take this a little bit further. How could we know this evening that this verse needs a broader context? In other words, can we take this verse out of its context and sit over here on the side and use it that a woman should not speak in the church? Or does it need broader context and understanding? In other words, is this verse, can we just take it out, pull it out, write it up here on this board, and hinge our beliefs and understandings and practice on that verse alone? Could we do that? Or does it need broader context and broader understanding? Now I'm going to go off in a little trail here, because one of the ways I learn from other men is have discussions with other men. We had a district picnic on one evening this week, and somehow or another this discussion came up. I didn't bring it up, but it came up because of some angst that a brother was having. And this man who was waxing eloquent on this, bless his heart, I thought on this subject and what I'm going to finish teaching you practically this evening was hard left or hard right, I don't know which it was, but I thought that he would have had to conclude that he was taking this verse right out of here and putting it up over in his board, and it says, thou shalt not speak in the church. Well, as I listened, his concern had stemmed out of we have been accustomed in our church culture to have joint lady and men, male and female youth classes together. That's our custom. And I find out that's not your custom, but that's our custom. And so about 2 weeks ago, he went to the Sunday school class because we always send an older brother along there. Sometimes he teaches, and sometimes he has the young men teach. And so he went to the Sunday school class, and the young man stood up to lead the Sunday school class. He called for prayer first, and then he asked a lady, young sister's leading prayer. And he was bothered by that, and I'm bothered by that. That's against this teaching here. Lest you think I'm going to go off a track, that is opposition to this teaching. So I know that our young people need some teaching on this, because that was a violation of the scripture. But he kept on talking, because one of the other men said that in our school, one of the teachers was asking all the young ladies, young girls, I don't know, sometimes she would get, is that offend you to use the term ladies? I used the term down CLP one time, they don't like that late word, but I'm just going to say ladies. So I hope that don't offend you, I'll just use that word. And he was asking some of the young ladies, they were asking all of them to have a term for devotions in school. Now, Brother Keith, you're on the school board, so you can just listen in here a little bit. And he was disturbed by that. I'm disturbed by that too. I don't think that teacher, I think that teacher had another goal and purpose, but I think it was probably violating the scripture. But we'll keep going here on this a little bit. But I thought this man was sort of over on the hard left about this scripture. And so we ate our supper, and then I had to go ask him. I couldn't stay out of the subject, and my mind was going here. And I asked him if a lady would go out with another man and commit adultery in the brotherhood, whether she should give a confession in the church. And I thought that he was going to go into this doctrine that we sometimes hear, that the woman is so subject to the man that even if the man told her to take off her veiling, she should do so. And he didn't go there. He said, yeah, she should make a confession in the church. And I thought he was going to tell me that the husband should confess for her or something like that. I didn't know what he was going to say. I was trying to catch him, because I wanted to know, if he was so hard left that the scripture says, let the woman not speak in the church, does he really mean that the woman should not speak in the church? And that means that you don't talk about gardens after church. And the point I'm making is this scripture hyper-literal? And we had some really good conversation about that, which led into, should a woman read a Bible verse in the assembly? And there was some discussion about it might depend on which verse. And I'm just saying that's all. But, you see, we could take this verse. There are some verses. Let me give it this way. There are absolute verses in the scripture, such as a woman should be modest, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit adultery. In every single surrounding verse that you can find in God's word confirms and affirms that. But this scripture is different. There are verses that are absolute, and you could just take them right out and you could put them up here on this board, and every other verse that you could find, or every other story, every other teaching that you find in the scriptures would affirm and confirm it. But this one's a little bit different, and that's why I'm going to go there right now. We can't do that with this verse, and I'll show you why. There are other surrounding verses which seem to be contradicting to this one. There are some others. And this is a large subject and very controversial in the Protestant world and Roman Catholic world and whatever we have around us. And so I'm sharing with you the teaching that is beginning to me and my beliefs about it. Let's look at Acts 21, verse 9. This is New Testament. It's New Covenant. Paul is on a missionary journey. And next day, verse 8, We that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, I have to ask you a question. Did they only prophesy in their bedroom? Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, 84 years old. And she coming in that instant gave thanks. This is in the temple. Likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him, that is Jesus, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so we have this old lady spending time in the temple, in and out of the temple. And we might say in this setting, we know from the Jewish history that the synagogues had separate seating. And so the ladies may have been testifying and prophesying together, and the men might have been testifying and prophesying together in the synagogue, which I understand from the historical synagogue would have been common. But this is in the temple, and we have Anna going in and out of the temple, and she's a prophetess, and she's speaking about the redemption of Jesus Christ, and she's saying something in the churches. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is in the same dialogue and arguments and defense that Paul makes. And he says in chapter 4:11, and this is the only part, this is just kind of reaching in here and taking this out. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as who are shaven. And just taking this out of here in the context, and you know the scripture, Paul is arguing here that now in the new covenant, a lady with her head covered, showing this absolute truth of man being the leader and woman being spiritually, she's equal. Although practically speaking, or in practical practice, she would not usurp authority or take authority, but if her head's covered, she may prophesy, and she should prophesy. We could go to some Old Testament scriptures, but for the sake of falling into the pit of not having the covenants accurate, we won't. Because Huldah and other ladies in the Old Testament also had the Holy Spirit and come upon them, and so some situations there. So we're not going to go there, but I just used a few of these. And these verses seem to stand in contrast to these verses that we were given and looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it says the women should not speak in the churches. So we are left with answering, I'm suggesting or submitting for discussion after church. We are left on this question about 1 Corinthians 14, is it hyperliteral or what is it? Does it mean, can we just take it out of the scriptures and put it there on that board, and it means thou shalt never speak again in the church? And I am teaching tonight that there are some scriptures that need to be discerned and rightly divided and used, not just by the scripture that we have, one scripture, but by the great context of the Word of God as a whole. And I'm suggesting that mainly, Paul was speaking here about this huge doctrine of man and woman. And perhaps not as specific as thou shalt never talk about tomatoes in the church again, let alone give an answer in Sunday school class. It's a bigger subject than that. That's the point I've made so far. Now, I'm going to tread on some more soft ground. We're going to go to Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. There are two almost identical verses here. And these verses have been highly controversial. I'm not sure how much you know about that, but in and out of our circles, they have been somewhat controversial, I believe, because of reaction, which we're all prone to. In 16, verse 19, Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God, and if you want to listen to what I think was a really helpful sermon on church authority, you could go to the Keysville. Brother David Mass was asked to speak on church authority, and I thought I was really blessed by his explanation of these verses. And I'm not doing what he did that night, but I am looking at these verses. So far, I've taught and submitted to y'all that this verse from 1 Corinthians, as given to me as a subject and how it's going to practically work out, needs some greater context. We can't just lift it out and say, thou shalt never ever speak in Sunday school class. We might come to that conclusion, and I'll finish that here in a little bit. The church might come to that conclusion, but I don't think we can do that honestly with the Bible. We need a bigger context. So here we are in Matthew 16. It reads like this. Paul, Jesus speaking about the coming church, and I will give, or the ecclesia, the group of believers, the gathering of saints, which is his bride, which he's coming for, which is his wife. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And over in 18:18, we have almost identical verse. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, there are two reactionary teachings that have come out from those verses. I read through all of the translations that I could find that I believe are authentic translations, and they all say the same as the King James, except one of my favorite versions is the Amplified Bible. And there it reads differently. And there is where the other reactionary teaching, I believe, has come, and which I believe is foundationally correct. If y'all weren't here, my wife has a parallel Bible, and I would get her to read it, but I won't, because she has an Amplified. I'll give it. It basically says in the Amplified, the church may only bind on earth what is already bound in heaven. In other words, the church has no authority, the ecclesia, the group of believers, whether it's a fellowship or a ministry-led congregation. I'm not addressing that. One is more biblical than the other, but I'm not addressing that. I'm just saying a group of people of a church may not make rules that are not already established in heaven or already absolutes in heaven. Now, the Catholic Church has taken this to the ditch. We all know this, the Roman Catholic Church, not the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church has taken this and translated it to mean that if the church makes a rule, God will honor it, no matter what. That's what they believe, in bull down. Then the reaction to that is that the church cannot say anything that's not already bound in heaven. The problem with that reaction is that is often subject to the interpretation of that group of people or man or whoever it is. And I'm here to suggest tonight, or teach what I believe tonight, I believe that there is some truth in both of those. the church has a responsibility to take the Word of God, especially where you get to something like this, and give some guidance. Because we have apparent conflicting texts on this. And it is my core teaching here tonight. You're going to get it right here. The church, whether it's ministerial-led or democratic-led, needs to be giving some direction to this. What only inside of absolutes, but inside those absolutes, the Bible obviously is not exactly real clear on whether this means thou shalt never talk about tomatoes again, and thou shalt never speak in Sunday school class again, and you should never give a testimony at council meeting again. Or does it mean, what does it mean? And I'm going to go ahead and just walk out on this ice and teach that this verse that Jesus gave means that God will give that to a group of people within bounds. Now, we know that the sister should not pray in Sunday school class. We know that's out there. And we know that ordaining a preacher up here, we know that's out. But is there any room in this for the difference between testifying and preaching? In other words, could a woman testify in a setting, public setting, and not be outside of usurping authority? I don't want to lose you here, so if I say it a couple times, a couple different ways, so you get it. I have been taught that two things. One is that 1 Corinthians 14 is somewhat contextual, and I'll get to that a little bit later, but it is also not word for word. Piper, word for word. Thou shalt not ever say a word in the church, whether it is confession or whether it is testimony or what it is. Thou shalt not speak in this building. How about out on the streets? How about, I don't know what all you're doing out here on the streets, but how about street work? How about testifying and prophesying other places? And I'm putting out here that in this, the answer to this question within, I am not saying that the church may say something and God will honor it, but I am saying that all the versions that I found besides my favorite version for understanding these kind of verses actually say it exactly like it says it here. And then there's that one that says the other way. So the one says, like this says, whatever the church says, that God honors, and that one says the church may not say anything that God has not already established. So see, we have some ditches going on here. We have some things that's prone, and I'm teaching tonight, there's my belief that is both of those concepts. Only, Ernest, only inside of what God has already. So only inside of that boundary, but I'm suggesting and sharing that inside of that boundary, I think that the church and God will honor that. Okay, let me unpack this a little bit further. If this congregation of believers, whether leadership directed or congregational directed, agreed that that testimony, that there is a difference between testimony and prophesying or teaching, and this church agreed that that's a proper understanding of that and allowed for that, then you may testify. But you may never preach, because we know that's completely outside of this concept of because preachers are leaders, and that's usurping authority over. And so I have been six years now, and I have noticed that most of us are pretty prone to extremes and opinions and hyper-doctrines and reactions. And I'm teaching this evening that on this subject, I believe that the church, this group of believers together, God directed, would give some guidance to this. And I don't think that this teaching is happening. I don't think it is very much, but there's a lot of assumptions. Now, in this church, Ernest and Logan and Sonny and Tim, since this church is basically, foundationally, leadership driven and led. If my teaching